All right, good to see you tonight. If you would, turn in your Bible to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 tonight. Again, good to see you, and good to be in the Lord's house. I want to continue. I'm thinking, I find it interesting that we get to a place where we think that every event is the end of time. Right. And of course, this week they indicted a former president. And what's interesting to me is people are losing their mind. Our country's finished. Our country's finished. Well, they didn't feel that way when 50 years ago, abortion was legal. Didn't feel that way when all the Story Hour stuff came out. Didn't feel that way when all these other events happened, right? And so I think we've got to come to the place where we realize that unless America has a true revival. See, this is bigger than a political issue. This is a spiritual issue, right? And it's been a spiritual issue. But see, God's people, we've kept our head in the sand. Well, that doesn't affect me. And so we're so distracted with everything. And I see people distracted with entertainment. Of course, we've been that way for years. We're more concerned about who the number one draft pick is going to be in the NFL draft, Brother Brad, than we are that our country been going downhill. I saw today a debate where a guy was talking about churches, the decline in attendance, and he said, if you're not actively involved in witnessing the people, you're part of the problem. And I thought, well, you're right. And of course, you know, you had people, you just don't understand this, that. It should be easy. We ought to be able to share our posts on social media, and we ought to check in at church and let people know where we are. And I thought, you know, we've got to the place where we want it so easy to be a Christian. We want the path of least resistance, right? And so I don't think we realize spiritually how bad we are. And so if God's people do not wake up, right, we can't expect the world to wake up. God's people don't wake up. And Brother Josh, if we can't see the spiritual temperature of what's going on around us, now Sunday will potentially be a different story. It's Easter, and you know the Christers, the Christmas and Easter crowd, they'll come to church, right? But then the next week, well, you know, and we got to get to the place, folks, where God's more important. He's got to be more important. And I find this interesting. I saw a poll that was done last week before, and the values of religion. Now that's a broad thing, right? Religion is on the decline, right? Where just a few years ago it was 62% of people considered themselves religious. Now I think it's down to like 38-39%. Or that religion was important, that having a family, having kids was important. That's gone down. All the traditional things that has made this country great, right, going down. But you know what's going up? The desire for wealth. The desire for wealth, right? And I thought about that. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Didn't say money was the root of the love of money. Nothing wrong with that. But see, when you have a society, and think about this, Brother Jimmy, for every election cycle, right? They'll say, focus on the economy. Focus on the economy. People's pocketbook. Even now, when we look at the inflation, right, we talk about, can you believe how much eggs are? Can you believe how much gas is? Can you believe how much this is? And I understand that. But see, we're over here worried about all these temporal things. When over here, all these spiritual things that we should be focused on, we're losing them. And so the whole push in our country is, as long as my bank account's okay, as long as I'm paying my bills, as long as I can have a nicer house, as long as I can have, seven vacations, as long as I can have a new car, new truck, new whatever, as long as I get all that stuff, I don't care about this other stuff. So what, which person is going to give me the things that I want? And that's even among Christians, am I right? And so now we're in a place where we don't have either. And so when a world gets to that point, it's going to be real easy for one man to come on the scene and say, "I can fix all this." And even those, some that name the name of Christ, will say, "I don't care what it costs, just get me out of this mess." Now, I didn't say they were saved. And so that's where we're at. And so we, as God's people, it's time that we get serious. It's time that we're serious about knowing God, right? That's what's important now. And so hopefully what we've seen over the last few decades, right, in our life has gotten us to the place, I hope, that we will start turning our attention upward. We better turn our attention upward. And so Proverbs 25, beginning in verse number 16. Notice, I want you to understand, when you look at the first part of this particular proverb, it says in verse 1, "These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of a king is to search out a matter." And so the very beginning of this proverb is dealing with those of what we would consider royalty, or those that govern, right? And so last week we looked at some things, and this week it goes on that we look at this title, "People We Can't Trust." Now, believe it or not, there are people you can't trust. There are people that you even would consider to be moral, upstanding people. You still better be careful who you trust, right? And so the Bible said here in verse 16, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as it is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited." That don't sound like we're starting off too good. "Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. And a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold, and as vinegar upon a nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart." And so Solomon again is speaking to his son, trying to impart wisdom to him. And he's letting them know, because think about this. Solomon as king, even as the wisest man ever, if you'll study his life, he made a lot of mistakes, right? He was subject to be led astray by strange women. He had people in his life, counselors that led him wrong. And so if he'll do it, he's trying to tell his son, "Listen, you need to understand that everybody that tells you they're out for your best interest is not out for your best interest." And so how many can remember a day when you could trust what people told you? Amen, I can. Or that's what we thought. But if Solomon is telling him all the way back in Proverbs that there are people you can't trust, guess what? In 1985, there are people you couldn't trust. In 1970, there are people you couldn't trust. In 1950, there were still people that you could not trust. And so you could trust, for the most part, that people had character and wanted to do right. Now, they weren't always right. And even this, I found, Brother Matt, some people I put confidence in let me down. But then I realized that they were simply men. They weren't God. They weren't deity. They weren't Jesus in the flesh. They were simply men that maybe had let me down, but in doing so, they were still trying to do right, right? And so there will always be people that are deceptive in your life. There's always going to be deception in this world. We realize this, that Satan is the father of lies. And so therefore, we have to be careful to not trust everything, but also not distrust everything. Right? Because there are certain people that are so jaded and so jagged, so hurt, that listen, even if you speak truth from the Word of God, they won't believe it, right? We know the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. So if it comes from the Word of God, it should be true. Can we agree with that? But how many times have you given someone Scripture and not tried to shove it down their throat, but just tried to encourage them with Scripture, and they'll say, no, I don't believe that. Why? Because something has happened in their life where someone they trusted that has told them a lie, did them wrong, whatever, so they don't trust anybody. Well, that's where you and I have to realize that in our life, I can't do anything about the distrust of others. I can try to live with character and tell them the truth, but I have to be careful of me. I have to realize that God will tell me the truth because He is truth. And so the Word of God is truth. There have always been deceptive people. So while we have to be careful not to trust everyone, neither can we distrust everyone. So we have to have some kind of measurement to determine who we can trust and who we can't. And so Solomon gives just two things in this scripture I want to share with you. Number one, there are people who cannot draw the line. People that cannot draw the line. Well, look at verse 16 and 17. The Bible said, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. So the first person here is those people that nauseate. Now, if you don't want nauseate, it means this. Blech. Right? Blech. Right? So, and in other words, what he's saying in verse 16, he said, hast thou found honey? Well, honey's a good thing, right? We don't eat much of that now, but think about in that day, that was a natural sweetener. It was a pleasantry. It was something that was pleasant that people would eat, and it would be good. So what we're saying here, he said, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient. There's a difference between sufficiency and indulging. Can we agree with that? Now, we have to understand that even in the New Testament, now in the Old Testament, we know the Bible, that God gave the Jews some dietary restrictions. In the New Testament, He said that what He had made holy, we're not to make unholy. Well, here's our problem. We feel like that just because God said it was okay to eat it, He didn't say eat all you want to, right? I can see right now this is not going to go well. Not in the Baptist church, right? Well, preacher, we're getting ready to have Easter breakfast. Well, don't eat all of it, amen? Hey, hold back at one plate, not three. Can I get amen there? So in other words, you can have too much of a good thing. And it is that temperance in all things that you and I have to look at. Now, you say, well, preacher, does that include coming to church? I don't know of too many Christians that are in any kind of trouble of going to church too much. Brother Matt, there is, if we're not careful, we can be too involved in church, right? I know that growing up, I met churches that, well, we got church on Sunday, and we've got special Bible study on Monday, and then we've got Tuesday soul winning, and Wednesday we've got church, and Thursday we've got another soul winning, and we've got all these things. And I'm saying that yeah, you can go to church too much, but not to church too much, right? In other words, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in having all these activities at church that we miss the thrust of teaching and preaching the Word of God. So we can be too active in church and have all these. Well, we're going out to, we've got the ladies' luncheon and the men's. We like to go out and we like to have coffee on Tuesday evening. And you can take away from the family and take away from time in the Word of God by being too busy about things. I ain't talking about coming to church, so don't get in your mind, well, I just ain't going to show up Sunday because preacher said we go to church too much. I don't know too many Christians that are in trouble of too much of going to the house of God. I don't know too many Christians that are in trouble of reading the Word of God too much. I don't know too many Christians that hand out too many tracts. Normally, when we overindulge, it is not on the good things. It's usually on the things that are not as good. Am I right? So you can have too much of a good thing. So as honey is that natural sweetness, there are people that are, when we think about that people, the Bible tells us we're to edify each other, right? We're to encourage one another. It also tells us that we are to give due, or people were to praise people when it's due them, right? However, we can do too much of it. There are certain people that are too liberal in their giving out of accolades. Here's what I mean. Brother Johnny, I'm going to tell you what. You're the best man I've ever met in my life. I mean, you're the best choir leader. You're the best singer. You're the best. I've had people tell me, preacher, you're the best preacher I ever heard. But I'm going to tell you what. I've never heard anybody preach like you. I'm going to tell you what. Best pastor I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, exactly. Watch out, right? Because if we're not careful, the devil can inflate our ego, right? Oh, Miss Peggy, that's a great song. Best I've ever heard. You're the most wonderful singer. Listen, she did do a good job. But you ought to say, listen, thank you for letting God use you. That song encouraged me. God ought to get the glory for everything, not us. And when people are constantly pushing about how good you are and how wonderful you are and how this, they may mean well, or they may be setting you up. Anybody remember Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver? Hello, Mrs. Cleaver. It's very nice to see you today, Mrs. Cleaver. My, you look exceptionally beautiful today, Mrs. Cleaver. And he was always angling to get Wally and Beeb in trouble. Some of these youngins, you need to go out and watch Leave It to Beaver. You'll understand what I'm talking about. That's the way a lot of folks are, right? When they're too gushy over you, it's too much honey. See, we don't need the glory. He needs the glory, right? He deserves the glory, not us. So while it is good to edify and encourage each other, we need to be careful because, that we don't overdo it. And someone that does overdo it, you need to be careful of them. They may be sincere or they may be angling. Brother Bart, my mentality is what you want. Right? So there are those that are sincere. There's others that will use it for deceit. So also, we can't trust those who overindulge in things. Listen, our society, the world we live in, even Christians, we have forgotten this thing of suppressing current pleasure for future gain. Do you realize, I heard this week, that the average, which means some are higher, some are lower. The average car payment in America is $700 a month. Seven. You with me? I talked to this young man. He said, we were talking, he said, man, he was talking about his car payment. I said, well, sell it. What am I going to drive? I said, go get you a beater. Well, no, man. You're always going to have a car payment. Or is there a law? That's in the Constitution. You got to have a car payment, right? Why do we do that? Because we got to have this now, right? Instead of waiting. Why is it that over 50% of Americans do not save for their retirement? 50%, one in two. Well, I don't know where you think it's going to happen. The tooth fairy going to drop some money in your bank account. You know why? Because because a lot of people don't want to put off that immediate gratification. It's that way in every area of life. I can't read my Bible now. Why? Because I got to do this. And so there's this thing called dopamine. You know what they found? All this social media, you know what it does? Pops that dopamine button in your brain. Right? Let me move on, Brother Jimmy, because I've nauseated some people. Right? I've nauseated some folks. So we got to understand that a small portion is not necessarily a bad thing, but the overindulgence of it is what causes that nausea, right? Listen, I love cake. I'm going to be honest with you. I love birthday cake. I like it with the thick icing. Can I get amen from somebody? I got amen. That's all I needed. And I got one for my birthday, and it had like globs of, they were supposed to be balloons, but you know what they were? Globs of goodness. And I said, give me that big piece with the globs of goodness. About three bites in that thing, I was going, that's even too much for me. Right? There's some things, even if you put a big old filet in front of me, I could eat 12 ounces of it, but anything over that is gluttonous. Why? Because too much of a good thing is nauseating. And so we have to be careful that are people that are constantly pushing that honey at us, right? And we got to be careful that we're not always partaking and looking for those accolades. Because listen, being a Christian and serving God, there has to be that element of humility that comes with that. And if we're not careful, that person that is you think is trying to boost you up. And let's be honest, the world we live in is all about that very mindset of, listen, we can't let kids fail. They got to get a participation trophy. I thought you got a trophy when you won. Right? Even second place is okay. But we're talking about just showing up. I'm Brother Jimmy, let's go to John 3:16 tonight, praise God. We're just in this mindset, this world of we got to be careful. You can't trust everything that everybody, because what they'll do is the devil can use people to get in that inner circle and lead you in the wrong direction. Sometimes you need people that's going to shoot straight with you. Amen? So it's those people that nauseate, but then those also in verse 17 that are a nuisance. Bible said, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Well, we've all met people like that, right? Somebody sent me and Miss Ellen a thing they saw in one of these little stores that said something to the effect, thank you for visiting, but you need to be out by 9. Right? Don't be staying all night at our house because we're going to bed. And you can shut the door on the way out, but when we get tired, we're going to bed around our place. Can I get amen there? So we have all met those that kind of overstay their welcome, right? And so they take advantage of generosity and patience. You know what? I've met some people like that in church. As long as you're doing for them, man, they'll hang around you, right? They'll hang around the house of God as long as you're paying and taking care of this. But then when you ask them to do something for the church, time to move on. I've met, now, the ones you got back there are not like this. I met some missionaries like that. But I've met some pastors like that. I met some church members that way. I met some anybody got any family like that? Amen? See, what I'm saying is we have to be careful when people are being generous to us that we don't overstay our welcome. Listen, I love Miss Ellen's daddy. I told her, I said, I miss him. Her mom and daddy would come over to the house. They wouldn't call, but he'd show up. He'd stay about 15 minutes. He'd say, all right, Renee, let's go. They weren't going to overstay. He wasn't overstaying his welcome. He's ready to go. And I always appreciate that. I don't mind people stopping by, do you? But 7-8 hours worth of anybody. Hallelujah. Amen. There are certain people that are a nuisance. And they want a fellowship. They want to get in. Then all of a sudden, it's what can you do for me? A lot of people that way with the Lord, aren't they? What am I getting out of this? Lord, what? And that's what Christianity has become. We've got to promote Jesus as this big grandpa in the sky that whatever you need, he's going to take care of. Whatever happened to, Lord, what can I do for you? Amen. What can I give up for you? What can I do for the cause of Christ? Listen, I'm not going to hell. You saved me. Now what can I do for you? Amen. So understand that mindset of people that can't draw the line. It's like they just keep on and keep on and keep on. But then you can't trust that, because then when you need some help, will they be there for you? Eventually their presence becomes a nuisance. Instead of being a blessing, they want to be blessed. Then number two, there's people who cannot desist from lies. Luke verse 18, 19, the Bible said, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So understand this, that he deals with two things here, those who make false pronouncements. In other words, in verse 18, a man that beareth false witness, the Bible uses that word maul. That word maul bruises, right? Swords cut and wound. And so it causes people to lose their reputation and possessions in life. And that's where we live at. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be out there, right? And so your reputation can be tarnished and it not even be true, right? And so, you know, used to, again, you heard the saying, never believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. You better not even believe that now. Because people can doctor photos and everything else and put you in places you've never been and put stuff on you you've never done. But I'm just saying, I don't trust any of it, right? And so what happens is there's a push. And the devil uses it well, doesn't he? All you have to do is be accused of something. And it's true. All you have to do is be accused of something and it passed to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy before. And what's interesting to me, Brother Josh, is the retraction is never printed. And so when you see things on the internet, and you're going, can you believe that? Turn over quickly to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Verse number 13. Let's look at this. This is God's word, right? I'm not making this up. We're reading it together. The Bible said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Did you get that? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You ever heard this saying, three sides to every story? He is His and the truth, and the truth's probably somewhere in the middle, right? What happens is we believe this, and we migrate over here and we condemn the person. We don't even know if it's true or not. And so it cuts and it bruises. And there's people not in church today, right? There are people out of the will of God today. And I understand this. Listen, you are responsible for your walk with God. But also, I mentioned it the other day, the Bible tells us not to be a stumbling block. And so I have to be careful, because that false accusation, that false witness against my neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow, and it causes people to lose reputation. Listen, there are preachers that are not even in the ministry today because someone accused them of something they never did. There are people that have lost their reputation and lost their family over things they've never done. So what I'm saying is you and I have to have a little bit of distrust in everything we hear, because if we don't, what happens is we conclude the matter before we know the whole situation, right? The Bible tells us judge nothing before the time, right? So you and I have to be very careful that we don't surround ourselves with people that are constantly always looking to defame someone, always looking, this talking about others. And we mention that a lot, but let's be honest. We sometimes, Brother Johnny, we don't consider it gossip if we think it's true. And I've heard people say, well, it's not gossip because it's true. But if it does not involve you, doesn't matter if it's true or not, right? If it does not involve you, then you are gossiping unless you're talking to the person that it involves. And so when we make a false pronouncement against someone, well, I heard, and I know this person, Brother Russell, and they wouldn't lie, then you've missed the whole gist of this whole message, right? I can't trust everything everybody says. And I'm talking about good people, people that love God, because sometimes they get it wrong. And they make an honest mistake, Brother Matt, and even though it's an honest mistake, if it's still not true, then guess what? The damage is done. So if I'll just mind my own business, right? If I'll stay in my lane, if I'll get the weeds out of my own garden and quit trying to get it out of everybody else's, guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to make any false pronouncements on people. So those who make false pronouncements hurt people, damage people, and sometimes, Brother, well, I was just doing it. I was just trying to help. You weren't trying to help. You were trying to gossip, right? So most likely, all that they say is not true, and all that they say, or part of what they say, will be true. So you and I have to have the wisdom to understand that just because they're your friend, just because you have confidence in them, does not mean they know the whole story. Amen? Listen. The farther things go, if Jesus doesn't come back, I'll be honest with you. I turn on the news and I'm going, well, Jerry, I used to get upset. I mean, I'd say, I can't believe this. I just realized this. I don't care if you watch Fox, Newsmax, MSNBC, CNN. I don't care if you watch any of them. All of it is slanted to their audience. So before you get all up in arms about, well, I was watching the news and they said this, you're not getting the whole story. Amen. Shut it off. And then those who make false promises. Well, I'll tell you right now, I think of about 10,000, right? The Bible said confidence. Notice what it said. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So, both of those things are painful. Both of those things are not profitable. I'd say a broken tooth is not profitable, wouldn't you? I'd say a foot out of joint is not profitable. But notice the word, the Bible said confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Most of the time, when things are good, it's hard to tell what is deception, right? I mean, as long as everything's going good, praise the Lord, right? Most of the time, when times are good, people are willing to be faithful and true. When things are not good, the opposite happens. In other words, when things are good, people are very willing to accept credit for things that happen. You don't believe it? Wait a few months. But let something go wrong, guess what's going to happen? His fault. Her fault. His fault. Right? The buck stops here till it goes wrong, then it's his fault, right?
That's right.
So, and there's even this grace extended. In other words, just a few months, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get all these jack-legged politicians getting on TV, telling you all the stuff they're going to do for you.
Right.
Then when they get in office, Brother Jerry, they're going to say, well, all those were just campaign promises.
Right.
So what you said you were going to do, what you actually going to do, are not the same thing.
Right? Right.
Yeah. And God's people, you know what we do? Oh, I know this isn't easy. It's hard to swallow. But hadn't we figured it out yet? When things are good, everybody looks good, right? Rising tide causes all ships to rise. When things are bad, that's when you see what people's character is all about. That's what you see who's got the goods. You know what? I don't care whose fault it is. Fix it. Right? I don't care whose fault it is. Around here, something will happen. Someone says, well, I'll tell you what I think happened. So-and-so did. I don't care. Right? We had somebody ran in the wall out here, about knocked it down. Everybody's like, I don't know. Just fix it.
Right?
I mean, fix it.
Right.
But we know who you are. We got you on camera. No, I'm kidding. Right? Just fix it. Right?
Amen.
Choir singing. We mess up. Be pointing there. Just fix it, right? Doesn't matter. Just fix the problem. Exactly. Take responsibility. Fix the problem. So when people make false promises and they can't live up to it, then it's somebody else's fault. Well, it's not my fault, right? It is your fault. If you said you were going to do it and you don't do it, it ain't nobody else's fault. Well, the reason I'm not in church, the reason I'm not serving God, the reason I'm not doing this is because 14 years ago this happened, and I got out of church, and it ain't God's fault.
Right.
You get to choose. See, isn't that great? You have autonomy. You have agency. You get to choose the decisions you make and how you react to things. So those who make false promises, you say, well, I'm just going to go in my hole and go in my cave, and I'm not ever going to do anything because everybody's a liar. Well, that ain't going to fix anything. I'm not going to church because they're all a bunch of hypocrites, and I'm just, you know, I just can't stand to be around hypocrites. I know, but you go to the grocery store, you go to work, right? All the Christians at work that say they love Jesus, you know, and go to church, and then they cuss and tell dirty jokes at work, you're still around. You don't quit your job, do you? Yeah, but people in church ought to be better. You just said it. Guess what? We're all made out of this stuff. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. So are other people. And if you realize that you're a sinner and they're a sinner, and there's one true, right? An unfaithful person in pain is painful to his friends. His friends think they can trust his promises, but they let him down. You know anybody like that? I do. So when certain people, Brother Jimmy, when they promise me things, I'm like, maybe, maybe not, right? I'll be there at 10 o'clock, preacher. I'll show up about 10:15. Maybe, maybe not. But see, here's the thing. That should not affect my character. That should not affect the way I walk with the Lord. Brother Russell, I can't. If every missionary in the world quits on God, you got to stay faithful. If every preacher in the world goes liberal, quits on God, I got to stay faithful. If every Christian stops, you got to be faithful. If we'll get our eyes, listen here. I'm concluding. I said all that to say this. You better get your eyes off of man.
Sir.
Get them on God.
Sir.
Because every single person that is made up of this old stinking flesh can let you down.
That's right.
And you can let them down.
Right.
You know what we'll do, Brother John? We'll go, that's right. That's exactly right. They'll let you down. Let me ask you something. How many people have you let down? You take that book, you put it in front of your face. You let that book be a mirror to you. Because I can't fix anybody. I can preach all this. You can go out here, you can lie, cheat, steal. I can't do a thing about it. But I can take that book when I walk out of here and I can turn it on me and say, you know what? Doesn't matter what you do, but it does matter what I do. See, we like messages like this because in your mind, I'll tell you what's been going on. You've been thinking of people. Don't you look all sanctimonious. And
go ahead,
not, we're going to knock your halo off here. You, in your mind, you've been thinking about, yep, I know them people won't leave. Yep, I know them people you can't trust. I got somebody in mind right now that has told lies on me. You've got somebody in your mind right now. But you know what? There's probably somebody somewhere that if I asked them, they'd think of you. How's that suit you? That hurts a little bit, doesn't it? So you know what I can do? I can just fix me.
Right.
I can fix me.
Right.
I can try to be true. Am I always going to do it? Nope. I can try to be faithful. Am I going to be 100%? No, sir. See, if you're always looking at somebody else, you have this false sense of superiority. Right? But here's what I'd do. This old man told me one time, he said, think of the best Christian you know. And I said, all right. He said, now compare yourself to them. I thought, I ain't doing too good. He said, now one step more. He said, they're a sinner too. Now compare yourself to Jesus. How you doing? And buddy, if that don't drive you to your knees, let God be true, every man a liar. I can't trust everything. Even well-meaning people sometimes will tell you the wrong thing. If they got any character, they'll come back and say, listen, I was wrong.
Right.
But it's a whole lot easier. Well, it wasn't my fault because I read this, and all I was doing was relaying the message that I saw. So it really isn't my fault. It's somebody else's for spreading the false information, right? No, you spread the false information too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can come back and say, you know what? What I told you wasn't right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told you that.
Right.
I can't fix you.
Yeah.
You can't fix me. But you sure can take that book and turn it on you and say,
that's right.
I'm the one. I'm the one. I want to be trustworthy.
Right.
And I know you do. Now in your mind, all these people you were thinking, lining them up. Point number one, I'm going to put so-and-so's name there. Point number two, I'm going to put so-and-so. Guess what? They don't care. They're not here. They could care less that you don't think they're trustworthy. They don't. But here, when you stand before God, we just sang a song about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the one that matters. That's the one that matters. Can he trust me? Can he trust me? Let's stand together. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you so much for your attention. The altar's open. You come. Amen. You come. You just mind God. Lord.